Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away, oh, I'll fly away, oh, glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away, oh, I'll fly away, oh, glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh, glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Amen. This next song we're going to sing is called Heaven's Jubilee, and it's just going to be a glorious day. When we're there, we're celebrating with Jesus, our Savior, our loved ones. It's just going to be an awesome day. So let's sing this together.
Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me, joy is ours to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise, headed for that jubilee yonder in the skies. Well, oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the skies. Seems that now I almost see all the sainted dead rising for that jubilee that is just ahead. In the twinkling of an eye, change with them to be all the living saints who fly to that jubilee. Well, oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Well, oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. When we meet our blessed Savior yonder in the
for for me and my house. We're gonna worship for me and my house. You'll get your way for me and my house. We're gonna love you always.
And I speak to the enemy. You can't have my family.
We belong to the Lord.
Because this song talks about your family, and as a mom, I'm sure, I don't know for myself yet, but your family is so important to you. It's important to you to train your tribe and to raise your kids and to teach your kids in the way they should go. And so I just want us all to band together this morning and sing this song. It's straight from Scripture, and so let's just sing it together. If you're a mom, if you're not, let's just band together and worship the Lord.
Lord bless
upon you and a thousand generations,
and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you. He is for you.
Song is called Goodness of God, and I don't know about y'all, but my mama sure was a blessing from the Lord. My stepmom and my grandmother, they're all blessings from the Lord, and I'm just so thankful. And so we can stand and sing this together, because your family, your mom, your grandmother, your kids, they're all blessings from the Lord. So let's just band together and tell God how good he is to us.
Love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Listen to this.
I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In the darkest night, you were close like no other. I've known you as a father, and I've known you as a friend. And I've lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you. horse is running after, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my of the goodness of God.
Come on, sing it.
And all my life you have been faithful.
Yes, you have.
And all my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of
I had no idea Tori was going to be here. That's sorry. Done me wrong on that deal. Sure enough, singing this next song, I don't know that I even can now. But when Tori, we made our first CD as a family 21 years ago. And so that would have made Tori about 7 or 8. And she did so good on the whole CD. Man, she fought me tooth and toenail. She did not want to sing because in her mind, and I don't get this, but in her mind, she never could sing. How dumb, right? I mean, you just heard her. She got up here and bellered it on out, man. She's probably the best singer in our family, but she doesn't think she can sing. So I literally had to threaten her life to make her sing on this CD. Am I right? And she nailed it. As just a young kid, she nailed every part of it. And I'll never forget when we went in the studio to sing this song, she said, "Dad, I don't know if I can do that song." And I said, "Well, baby, nobody can do it better than you." She said, "I'm not talking about singing." She said, I can't sing it in front of Mom without bawling like a baby." And so we ran through it several times, and she cried every time. And I understood that. I mean, because when you feel this way about your mom, it's hard, and I get it. And so we got ready to finish the tape. I never told this story before. We got ready the day to record. And she said, "Dad, I asked the Lord to help me do this in honor of Mom. Not cry in honor of Mom." I'd never thought of that before. Man, she got up and nailed it. Made me cry. Come on. But she really did good. And I had no idea she's going to be here today, or I would not try this song now. I promise you. Amen. We're going to try it. And I'm about half tempted to have her come up here and help me. She ain't done it in 20 years, but I don't want to put her on the spot like that. I'll put you on the spot like that. Amen. But we're gonna try it. Amen. Every mom in here has had, at one time or another, probably had your kids or your grandkids go out and pick you some of the ugliest flowers in your yard. But to you, they were a beautiful bouquet because of what it meant, right? Right? That's what this means. All I could ever get from my mom was a handful of weeds. She deserved an armful of roses. Amen. You endure us as we try to do this.
Mm-hmm.
4 years old with dirt on my face. I've been out in the yard picking dandelions all day. I burst through the front door when I gathered enough to give to my mom to show her my love. When I held out my hand and she looked down at me, she said, I've never seen flowers as beautiful as these. She's the one who told me about Jesus. She's the one who taught me to sing. She deserves an armful of roses. She's satisfied with a handful of weeds. Now that I'm older and out on my own, I wish I could find more time to make it back home. I could have done better, I know in my heart, than to scribble a note on a last minute card. But then she calls on the phone, and the first thing she says is that I've read this card over and over again. She's the one who told me about Jesus. She's the one who taught me to sing. She deserves an armful of roses. She's satisfied with a handful of weeds. She's always known what true love means, and I want her to know what she means to me. She's the one who told me about Jesus. She's the one who taught me to sing. She deserves an armful of roses. She's satisfied with an armful of weeds. She's more than satisfied with a handful of weeds. And Brother Dalton, if you would put up those words to that other song we could not find a track for. And if I had known Tori was going to be here, amen, me and her would have learned it. Yeah, she's smarter than she looks. Amen, me and her would have learned this. Amen, Brother Marvin, if you would, Brother Scott, come. Brother Marcus, if you would, come. Help me. Amen, I want to read these words to you because this is what I'm going to preach on this morning. A better idea. Amen. He hung the moon and he raised the sun. He made the lions walk and the rivers run. Then he sat down. He looked around and thought a bit. Said, it's all good, but that ain't quite it. So with his mighty hand, he created man. And then he had a better idea. A much better idea. He made an angel like sweet perfume, a heavenly smile, someone who can light up a room with a heart so true. I thank God he created me, but when I look at you, Tammy, I see he had a better idea. Amen. Amen. I'm sorry, Brother Scott's outside. I remember that now. Let me see. I'm looking. All the men are gone. Amen. Come here, Brother Brother Manuel, could you help me? Amen. Let me tell you what a thoughtful person does. Brother Marvin brought this in this morning. Said, Brother John, I felt like the Lord dealt with me last week to make this for the moms. He said, you think that'd be okay? And I started crying. I'm sure he thought I was crazy. He said, it's just simple candy. Got some mint and stuff. But man, how thoughtful is that? So all you moms if you get diabetes, it's Brother Marvin's fault. Amen. But it's okay. We love that. We want all the moms to get one of these. Each one of y'all get a flat if you would and go hand them out to the mom. Mom, raise your hands, please. Please. Now, if you're a kid here, don't raise your hand. I know you want some candy. I get that. I was worried about you, Rainey. I was worried about you. I knew you finna do that. Yeah. There you go. Tori, did you get one? No, don't be sorry. It's all good. Amen. You say, you know, probably one of the greatest things I've learned about being a human being, my mom taught me. And I'm not always as thoughtful as I need to be. But if there's any one thing my mother taught me, it was to try to be thoughtful about everything you can. And I'm sure I failed many, many times on that. But I want to be, she told me when I started preaching, she said, John, I don't care if you ever become a big name preacher. Just be a good guy. I don't know if there's any better advice you can get than that. Just be a good person. Be somebody's going to miss when you're gone. Wow. How about that? Be somebody's going to miss when you're gone. Amen. That's my heart's desire. Is that everybody? Amen. I understand completely that this is Mother's Day, but I really want to give Brother Marvin a big hand. How thoughtful is this, man? That's awesome. The rest of these are mine. Go sit down. Go sit down. The rest of these are mine. Amen. Of course, I'm playing. I'm just playing, but. We're so thankful. Man, I tell you, I know there are bigger churches. There are whole churches with a whole lot more money. But I don't know of a better church in the whole world than Level Ground. I mean, we just got some great people here. And we want you to know, if you're here today and you're from another church, we're not down in your church. Don't misunderstand me. But I am thankful that I get to come here to Level Ground with this group of people right here. If you don't have a home church, please let us love on you. That's what we want to do. Amen. And we are so thankful for each and every one that's here. I want to preach to you for just a little while. Amen. Thank you, Tori, for being here. And I mean that, baby. I don't know the last time my wife was able to be in church with her children because of us pastoring and them getting married and moving and doing their stuff and doing what they're supposed to do. And so it really means the world to me. And I'm not even the mother, so I appreciate each and every one. It is so, I also want to say, I'm not just trying to single people out, but I also want to say how awesome it is to have Sister Nicole's mom with us this morning. Man, well, I told her when she walked in, I said, out of 1,000 women, I could have picked you out as Nicole's mama. Amen. That's a compliment, by the way. Amen. We love Nicole. She's part of our family also, and we're so thankful get to meet her mom and be with her mom in church. Amen. What a blessing it is for you to have your mom here today. Amen. There's a lot of us that wish we could say that. Amen. I hope this ain't out of line, inappropriate, but I thought of Sister Rose this morning, Brother Sammy. And I was walking down the driveway at Ruth. I'm sorry. I looked at Rose and meant Ruth. I'm sorry, your mom. I was walking down the driveway at the parsonage that we were in at that time, and wow! I heard this awful commotion. I looked up, And I saw the underside of the car that I recognized as Sister Ruth Boland's. And I thought, now that ain't normal. I'm talking about her car was flipped up on its side. And she was, well, how old then? 80, 85, 86, something like that. And for anybody in here that's old, yay. I'm glad you're still driving. Amen. Anyway, I ran that when I realized it was her car. Dummy me, I told Zach to call 911. That was the dumb part. Amen. And I ran down that way to get to the car. When I got there, I looked over and she was sitting on the other car's upside down. She was sitting on the passenger's window. And I leaned over in there and I said, for those of you that didn't know, Sister Ruth was about this tall. Amen. She wasn't tall at all. I said, Sister Ruth, are you okay? She said, call Billy. I said, I think we got that covered. She said, call Sammy. I said, yes, ma'am, we're calling them. She said, call Sandra. I said, yes, ma'am, we're going to call them all. Are you okay? She said, yeah, I'm fine. I need a wrecker. She just totaled her car. And all she was worried about was letting the kids know and that she needed a new vehicle. Amen. That was what she was concerned about. Amen. I love that. Amen. I thought about her this morning, Sister Ruth, and I told her more than one time, I said, Sister Ruth, when you pass, we're going to be ruthless. Amen. And she always got a kick out of that. I love Sister Ruth. She was my friend. Amen. I love all you moms. I want to read a couple of things right quick. God's gifts. God gives us everything, His wisdom, strength, and love. He also gave me you, Mom, and I thank the stars above. Amen. My mom was great, and I know all you moms are. I'm not belittling any of you. Amen. I want to preach to you about something today that I've never preached on before, have never heard it preached before, and so I may have to weed through something here. If I say something you disagree with, give me a little mercy until we can work it all out. But I was thinking about the world we live in now and all the confusion of genders and all the nonsense of all this going around. It's amazing to me that we go to scientists and we so-called science and we go to biology, but we never check the book. And there's nothing more true or honest than the Word of God. And you can find all the answers you need for life in the Word of God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And so, if you want to know what is really important in life in the world, search the book for it. That's where you'll find the answers. You may not agree with them, but that don't make it wrong. Because the Word of God's true no matter what. Amen. So I want to read to you out of Genesis chapter 1. I saw something I'd never seen before, and I want to help you with this if I can. Genesis chapter 1, and we'll start with verse 26. And God said, God's making all the days. You know, He started with 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. And then He gets to day 6. Amen. And I'm not going to say too much about this, but I also realized that after He, on day 6, when He made woman, He rested. Y'all wore Him out. Y'all been wearing Him out ever since. Amen. I'm playing. Calm down. But I thought that was kind of funny. After He made woman from man, the Bible said, God saw that it was good, and He rested. He was wore out. Amen. Verse 26 says, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female. Created He them. Male and female. Amen. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over everything that moveth upon the earth. Verse 31 says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Chapter 2 and verse 7 says, and the Lord God formed man. This is, for unless there be any confusion, this is just a continuance of day 6. He told you about the ending of it. He made man. Then he goes back and he starts telling you about the day. So don't get this twisted. Amen. And then the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Once you take your first breath, hear me, your body's going to die, but your soul's not going to die. You are a living being from your first breath. You are a living being from conception before you ever take your first breath. But once you take your first breath, your soul never dies. Think about that. Man, we spend our whole life making it easy on the flesh. And we're fixing to get rid of the flesh. We need to be more concerned about our soul than we do our bodies. Because your soul's going to live on through eternity somewhere. Amen, Brother John. That's good preaching. Thank you. chapter 2 and verse 18. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof shalt thou surely die. Verse 18 says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. A helpmeet for him. Not a boss. Not a slave. Who cleared their throat? Calm down. Amen. Not an overseer. Hang on, here we go. Not a mama. Ooh. Not an equal. It's gonna get tight. A helpmeet. Well, he may be the head, but I'm the neck. Wrong. Wrong. I'm going to help you guys here. You may not like it. You may get whooped when you get home. You are the head, not the boss, the leader. And sister, you are the helpmeet. Nobody can do for that man what you can do. You don't understand. You don't understand how important your role is. We had back in the 50s and into the 60s, we had a bunch of nuts, and it wasn't the women; it was the men who started it. Started this equal rights movement. Man, what a dumb thing to do! Why would you want to lower yourself, women? Really, God made you special. He didn't want you to be like a man. That's ridiculous. Men are not heads. Don't be a not head, sister. Amen. Listen, well, I believe women can do anything men can do. Oh, it's not true. It's just not true. God didn't design you that way. Amen. That's why it is not fair for men to be in women's sports. It's never going to be. Does that mean men are better? No, it don't mean they're better. They're different. God made us all different. Amen. As sore, as tired as I am, there are still things my wife will not think about picking up without me. Because she just ain't got the muscles I got. Now, some of y'all think, well, bless God, I guarantee you I do. That attitude is your problem. Come on, shout with me now. Amen. If we're not careful, we try to put ourselves in a role God never designed us to be in. Sister, you're not supposed to be head of the house. I know we've got some here that are. I completely understand. But that was never God's design. It was God's design for you to have a head. And the reason life is hard on some of us is because you're running around headless. Woo-hoo! We might ought to sing again. Katori, can you give me a song ready? Amen. Hallelujah. Been a while since I said that, hasn't it? Yeah, there you go. If we're not careful, and I'm not down on the women. I don't want you. I told you. You were the better idea. You were by far. Man, the things that men can do that women can't are minuscule. They're just small things. The things that women can do that men can't are amazing. I'm talking about amazing. This is something the Lord showed me this week. Men are protectors, providers, and priests of the home. Women are helpmeets and nurturers. That's why, and this is in a normal household, and I'm not saying ours was normal because I was there. There's nothing normal about our home because of that. But in a normal structure of a household, the male is the disciplinary person. The mama is a nurturer. I never one time fell out of a tree and went and looked for my daddy. I never one time busted my knuckles on doing something and went, oh, I need my daddy. You know why? Because he'd say, what's wrong with you? Boy, be a man. What's wrong with you? Mama never one time done me that way. She said, oh, come here, baby. When I was 18 years old, oh, come here, baby. Well, you better well believe I climbed up my mama's lap when I was 18. And I didn't care what anybody said. Hallelujah, that's my mama. Amen. And so there's just a difference in the roles, in the people. Amen. It's always been that way. Amen. This is what the Lord showed me this week. Men, when you build them, give them a house, they will build a home. A woman will build a home. If you give them seed, they will birth you children. Hang on, brothers. Let me help you here. If you give them hell, they multiply that. Come on, I'm going to wait and look on you, all y'all. Because we are our own worst enemy sometimes, brothers. We come in tired and we don't treat her like the easy, gentle person she's supposed to be in our life. We treat her like one of the co-workers. And so we get co-worker back. Come on, the Lord showed me this. I'm feeling awful froggy all of a sudden. Amen. Because here's the deal. Amen. If you don't treat her like a helpmeet, she's not going to be a helpmeet. She's going to be a hellmeet. When you feed her rough, anger, mean, tough, brute force, that's what you get multiplied back to you, brothers. Because women are multipliers. Woo! I told you I ain't never heard this preach before. Hang on. Amen. When you give them a life, here's the beautiful part about it. Here's the beautiful part about it. And this is not just about having children. Don't misunderstand me. There's a lot of wives in here that are great wives. Amen. The Bible tells, I believe when God told Adam and Eve, be fruitful, he was looking at Adam. He said, be fruitful. And he looked at Eve and said, and multiply. Because that's their two roles. Be fruitful. Work like a dog, boy. If there's any young men in here that ain't working, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. God called you to work. He didn't call you to lay around. It's my church, so I'm going to say it. He didn't call you to play video games. He didn't call you to stay up too late at night so you can't get up in the morning. Come on. Oh, man, I got some women saying amen. Ain't no man in the building saying nothing. Come on now. It's Mother's Day. You didn't expect to get busted when you come in, did you? Hallelujah. Amen. This is why, if we're not careful what we do, we don't raise men to be men. So how can they find the right woman? How can they? You know what? They're looking for somebody that'll take care of them. Man, I'd be ashamed. It would embarrass me if I had to depend on my wife to work. Now, I'm not saying, you know, handicaps. I get all that. No, I don't. Because I'm about as handicapped as anybody in here. And I ain't never depended on my wife to do nothing as far as making my living. Amen. Well, yeah, but you're special. Agreed. I'm special. Ed, I got it. 100%. I got it. But because of that, I made up my mind. I'm going to try to be what I'm supposed to be for God. And you know what? She cannot be who she's so supposed to be unless I'm who I'm supposed to be. Because if she's always got to be taking care of my part, then she can't do her part. Oh, come on here. God didn't call her to be the leader. God called her to be the help me. And that's what a good wife does. That's what a wife does. Amen. Not just good, not just bad. That's what a wife does. Amen. It's more to it. It's more to it than just cooking and cleaning. Because, and I know this is going to catch some flack. I get that. I understand completely. But I'm going to tell you, we need to teach our boys how to cook and clean. We need to teach our boys how to cook and clean. That's not gender specific. Amen. Cooking and cleaning, you know, it's getting tougher and tougher, this message is. Amen. I'm telling you right now. Amen. Don't teach it to be so dependent on somebody that has to cook and clean for him that he's got to find him somebody to be get married to, because then she's just a slave, not a wife. Amen. Man, my mom, I'm sure my mom made mistakes. I'm sure she did, because she just did the best she could. I get that. But my mom taught me how to cook and clean. I don't like it. Then I married somebody who's neurotic about cleaning. Amen. She'll clean things that are already clean. That's the way she does it. Amen. Amen. And you know what? This is crazy. Let me go ahead and tell some of y'all just think I'm a sissy. That's okay. I don't care. I'm not trying to make you happy. I'm trying to make her happy. I could care less if you're happy. I ain't going home with you. Come on, shout with me now. Oh, that's who's clear the throat. That worried me. I thought of some of them young ones back there. Good. You're good. Every time I'd hit a note, somebody go, but it's Sister Ruby. She's not correcting me. She's just clearing the throat. You mean, if Glory had been doing it, I'd been worried. Hallelujah. Way to go, Bree. Thought I'd embarrass Bree. Amen. I'm going to tell you earlier, Mom fell, and the whole thing almost come unglued. When Mom goes down, the whole place is down. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. But if we're not careful, what we do is we try to set up gender-specific things. And I'm telling you, it's good for boys to know how to cook. It's good for boys to know how to clean. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Amen. It's good for women to know how to get up and go to work. But that ought not be their main job. The main job is to be a help me. Amen. You know what that means? I don't mean be the last word. Amen. I was listening to several videos in the last few weeks, and a guy that him and his wife had been married 65 years. 65 years. And the great grandson said, Paul, what's the secret to 65 years of marriage? And he real quickly said, being deaf. Amen. And there may be some truth to that, but nevertheless, amen. One guy also said, how do you make it for 40 years from being married to the same woman? He said, it's easy. You have a last word. And the grandson said, really? He said, yes. The last word is yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. I understand. You know what? That almost used to offend me, but now I understand that. That's not offensive at all, because I want to make her happy. My heart's desire is to make, and you know what I've learned? Some of you guys ought to get this. You know why you're fighting tooth and toenail? Because you want your way. But when you give her way, her desire is to give you your way. When it's right, it works because we work together on things. Amen. I can't say this without you misunderstanding, but there's nothing in the whole world I want to do than make her happy, except make the Lord happy. And you know what I've learned? When the Lord's happy and she's happy, life's good, man. Life's good, and it's not not being henpecked, but listen to me. Amen. One guy said, you may not be henpecked, but you got hen house ways. I'll take that. I love the hen. Why would that bother me, man? I'm building the house. She's the hen of the house. I want to have hen house ways, right? Amen. So if we're not careful, what we do is, I've never understood men. I've never understood men. They get around other men and care about their opinion more than they do their wives. I've never understood that. Man, I'll make every man in this building mad at me before I do her. I love you, brothers. I mean, I love you, brothers. Not as much as I do her. So don't come between me and her, because you're going to lose every time. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And she's not even cooking for me today. So I'm not just trying to get brownie points. Calm down. Amen. This is what I want to say. I really feel like the Lord showed me that a lot of trouble that we're having in our marriages is not that our women won't follow us, is that we won't lead. To be a leader is more than just saying, bless God, I'm the boss. Because there's times I don't want to be the boss. Hear me. I'm being honest. There's times I don't want to be the boss. I got to be the boss. I got to be the leader, but I don't want to be the leader. You know why? God called me to do that. Brothers, God called you to be the leader of your relationship, of your home, of your family. Amen. And if you take a step back, what you've done, you've just made your wife become something she's not supposed to be. She's never supposed to be the leader. And so it's a problem. That's the reason we're having so much trouble in some of our relationships, because our roles are reversed. Again, y'all know me. I come from a hard family. I come from a daddy who was a dictator, who was hard, who was mean, violent. So I never knew what it was supposed to be, but I knew it wasn't supposed to be like that. You hear? You understand what I'm saying? I didn't know what a good example was, but I knew that wasn't it. So when God started dealing with me about getting married, I didn't look for somebody who would just bow down. I don't want somebody like that. I'm too strong for that. I'll break somebody like that. I'm being honest. I need to say, I don't mean this disrespectful. I need somebody with a little backbone. I need somebody who could put up with me. I needed somebody, when they disagree with me, say, I don't know that that's right, and make me prove it. That's what a helpmeet does. A helpmeet doesn't just go along with everything. A helpmeet says, okay, if you're the leader, then lead. Do it. Get it. Amen. There's times lately. Amen. I felt the Lord deal with me to do something, and I told her, and she went, And I said, the Lord told me to do it, so we're going to do it. Okay. The Lord told you to do it. You know what she meant by that? He goes, belly up, I'm blaming you, not the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, shout with me now. She's been in with me 38 years. We've been, at the end of this month, June the 3rd, we'll be married 38 years. People said we'd never make it. And some of the very ones that said we wouldn't make it didn't make it. Ain't that the way it works? I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for people's opinion, because all they're going off is their own experience. And if they had a bad marriage, everybody's got a bad marriage. And that ain't true. God calls some people to be together. And if he hadn't called me and you, baby, But he did. And so you know what? I had to learn there's things I'm supposed to do, be fruitful. And there's things she's supposed to do, multiply. Growing up in our home, she never had to worry about whooping the kids. I was on it. I still like it. That's just who I am. Amen. Other day, I love this. I love this story. Are you recording this, Brother Dalton? A yes or a no? Brother Don Paul, are you recording? Oh, he is. Okay. Let me say this a different way then. Last couple weeks ago, I went down to Houston and watched all five of Kara's and Zach's kids. The last thing Zach said, this sent me over the top. I loved it. Last thing Zach says, he lined them all up and he said, Pop has the authority to whoop every one of y'all if you mess up, if you do wrong. And I went, woo-hoo-hoo! You kids hear that? Didn't have to whoop none of them. But I could have, because I had the authority, right? 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 Well, you ain't going to have authority to whoop my kid, then don't leave them with me. Now, it's just that simple. I ain't no tyrant. I ain't going to whoop them for nothing. But if they jumping off the roof, surely you want me to do something. And you ain't been around kids lately, have you? They'll definitely jump off the roof anymore. I mean, I would have when I did. Amen. That was the other thing Kara said. Dad, if you would, please don't tell any of your stories about when you were a kid. I said, why? He said, because my boys want to do what you did. I said, but your roof's higher than mine. And they can't get to the trampoline from the roof now. That's what we did. You might want to bleep that out, Don Paul. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to fix the clothes. Somebody, I guess everybody that's cooking's out there. Tristan, go check on, see how far they are, how close they are. And I'll tell you whether I'm in my first or my third clothes. Fourth clothes, yeah, whatever we need today. So as I semi-close, because there are some of them are standing around there. They're looking, they're watching. Amen. This is what I want us men to do. Become who God called you to be. Some of you are looking for a wife. Man, why would God bring a woman to you that you're not going to do right? Be fruitful. Be fruitful. Work hard. And it's not just about hitting an 8 to 5 job or a 9 to 5 job. That's not what it's about. It's about being productive in society. Be a man. Be somebody people can depend on. That is what being fruitful is. Amen. I learned, my mother told me years and years and years ago, and I know this is silly, but growing up the way we did, this is the way she talked to me. She told me, she said, you are not better than anybody. You are not better than anybody, the lowest person or the high. You are not better than anybody, but nobody's better than you. I want you to let that sink in, because that's a pretty powerful statement. And so people wonder about me now, because I walk into a room and I just go talking to whoever. I mean, I call the governor, Sarah. She didn't like it. I said, hey, Miss Sarah, how are you? She said, and you are? I said, oh, I'm Pastor John Martin. How are you? Amen. I got pictures with her. I mean, you know, just normal stuff. Because I don't think anybody's better. Oh, she's a big wig in the state. But believe it or not, she puts her clothes on just like I do. Can I hear an amen? She's not better than anybody here. And right on the other hand, I stopped this week and talked to a guy walking down the road, asking me if he needed a ride. It's one of the few times, but he said, no. I said, where are you going? He said, well, about 15 miles. I said, you don't need a ride? No. I said, oh, you're worried about me being a serial killer. He said, yeah. I said, well, I said, it probably don't matter, but I'm a preacher. He said, yeah, it don't matter. I said, okay, well, may the Lord bless you. I gave him some money and drove on down the road. But I'm not a bit better than the person walking on the road. I'm not a bit better than the person that can afford to own a plane. They aren't better than me either. Because when we stand before the Lord, He is not going to say, okay, Sammy, how much stuff did you own? He's not going to say, Tom, how much money did you have? He's not going to say, Sister Karen, he's not going to say, how beautiful were your flowers? They're beautiful, by the way. Because the things we do don't matter. It's who we are. My mother taught me years and years ago, if you can't be nice to the low guy, to the person that ain't got nothing, then you're going to reap that, because there's going to be times you don't have nothing. And you're going to need somebody just to be nice to you. You may not always have money to give people, but you can be nice. You can share your food. You can give them a drink of water. Woo, that's heavy. So that's what being fruitful is about, men. Being somebody that can be depended on. It's not just about making money, man. We got it so twisted. But then, sisters, he also looked at Eve and said, multiply. And that doesn't just mean have kids. That means make his life better. Make your life better. Make his life better. Make your kids' life better. Make the people around you better. Amen. There are so many people in this room right now that have made my life better. You've multiplied my life. Because you're called to do that for other people. When's the last time, I can't say this to moms really because you do it on a daily basis. When's the last time you just did something for your kids and knew you wasn't going to get thanked for it, but then all of a sudden, one of them come up to you, Ranson. Ranson sent me some chocolate chip cookies this week in a little bag. He don't think I'm diabetic. He sent me a little baggie, clear baggie with four chocolate chip cookies that me and him love the most. The Chips Ahoy in a red bag, soft, chewy. He sent me four of them. I guess they may be the last four he had out of the whole bag, but anyway, he sent them to me in a little clear baggie, and on the outside with a black marker, he said, "I love you." Man, I wouldn't took a gold monkey for it. Wasn't expensive. In fact, there were the cookies I gave him. That didn't matter. In the midst of him enjoying those cookies he loved more than anything, he took out four and sent home Pa. That's being fruitful. You know where he learned that? You know where she learned it? That's being fruitful. Sister Gail, I hope I don't embarrass you, but in the last several years that I've got to be around you, I want you to know you did good with your girls, your children. Casey Jo, she's just a giver. That's what all of them do. Where did they learn that? Sister Gail. Hey, man, that's just, you mamas don't understand. Your legacy is going to live so much further than you do. It's going to go way past when you pass away. And I don't want any of you to leave. That's not it. But your legacy is not what how much money you leave them. Because I got news for you. My kids, high and dry, brother. My kids ain't getting a dime. Amen. They just... I'm hoping me and my wife spend our last dime together as we go over the cliff. Together. Amen. Let me close with this. I heard a statistic. I mentioned this in our classes a few weeks ago. And if I can get it right like I had it then, I can't remember all together. But there was 1,000 women that were polled. And they were asked one question. There was 1,000 men polled, and they were asked one question. Who's your best friend? Over 85% of them said, my wife. And 1,000 men, over 85% of them said their best friend was their wife. The same women were polled, 1,000 of them, and over 85% of them said somebody else. Hold on a minute before you get off. The poll also went on to say that in those 2,000 people, the women will remarry. Most of the men won't live for 2 years. Us men are pretty simple. We're pretty basic. We are basic. We just need you. That's it. We need you. Women are much more communal. They have friends. We have brothers. We ain't got many friends. And that's why when my friend dies, I may or may not make it. If I die, she'll probably do better. Because her biggest hindrance in life is going to be out of the way. Isn't that unusual? It's a kind of a cool statistic, I thought. And it's true. I mean, you can argue with it. But you think about it. You women, the women in here, have real relationships outside of your husband. real connections with people. Your husband, you are his connection. You are his lifeline. That's why when he comes home, he can leave it at the job. Because he don't need it at home. He needs you. Sisters, you just don't understand what a big part you play. And not only your husband's life. We got to hurry. The bombs are going off over there. Now we're down to Om. Amen. If the O falls, I'm just going to dismiss you and we're leaving. Amen. I'm playing the O. Please don't fall. But I need you to understand that even though you feel sometimes not seen or shut out or not important, you are so important. We need you. Level ground here. For you moms that are level grounders, we need you. We can't make it without you. And that's just the honest truth. So this is what I'd like to do. What did they say, Tristan? Thumbs up. That means they're ready to go. Hallelujah. I'd like for all you ladies, you moms, to stand, please. I know Sister Jamie Lynn did this earlier. But I need you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I know some of you felt come in here today and you felt like you ain't been seen. Like maybe your desires, your wishes, your wants have been overlooked. But you need to know there's a God in heaven that sees right where you are. And I could have read about Rahab, who because of her obedience, one woman's obedience, her whole family was saved. I could have read about Deborah, who was literally a judge in Israel in a day that women were not allowed to do that. God specially called her. I could have read about all these different women in the Bible that if it hadn't been for them, their family would have been destroyed. See, there's a difference in being a leader and being a servant. And every woman in here is called to be a servant. Who are you keeping from hell because of your prayers? Amen. I'm telling you. You matter. You matter. I wish I could hug every one of you and just tell you right now, you matter. I don't care what the enemy's saying. You matter. Because if it hadn't been for you, somebody wouldn't be here. And that's the truth. So let me tell you from the men here that won't tell you enough, we love you. From the sons here, from the brothers here, we love you. Brothers, let's all stand with them now. Everyone in the building, please stand. I really believe there is a motherhood of God that God puts in every mother. I believe that with everything in me. How do you know that? Because of your love and your forgiveness. That's a God thing. Your mercy, your compassion, that's a God thing. My wife will have compassion on situations that I'm ready to kick and burn down. But I needed her to be my helpmeet. And so we don't burn some of it. She has saved me, oh, how many times. So can we do this? Can we, first of all, everybody in here, I want us to raise our hand and thank God for allowing us to be in this world right now, right here. Father, we thank you. Thank you for every woman, every man, every child. God, we're asking you just to bless each and every heart. Thank you for the ability to be here right now. Thank you, God, for what you've spoke to us this morning. Thank you for dealing with us about how we can do better. God, help us to do better. Give us a desire to do better. Lord, I will praise you to the end of my days for your goodness and your mercy. Now, Lord, we want to stop that and we want to thank you for our moms alive, those that have passed, those that are gone. We thank you for them. There's no doubt in my mind, God, you blessed us with our moms. Even if they weren't everything they should have been, you taught us with them and through them. And I'm asking you to help us to become better people, better moms, better dads. Give us the grace to do what we need to do for you, Lord. Help us to remember that male, female, it's all about obedience to your word and your will. Help us to do better, to love you more and to love people, and we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. I want to say before we close, please stay and eat with us. We have got